So the book of Hebrews, the first chapter, who is being addressed in the book of Hebrews? The Hebrews? Who wrote it? And it's not, the authorship is not listed in its pages. We don't know. You know, Paul usually started a letter by saying, Paul to such and such church, the saints at Ephesus or whatever. And so there's no way to substantiate or to prove that Paul wrote it. But the content is very Pauline, as they say, very polished. So it's written to the Hebrews specifically. It's kind of trying to get them and understand something. You know, for the most part, the whole Bible was written to Jewish people. It's not written for only Jewish people, but, you know, the letters that were written, the gospels that were written by Jews to Jews mostly. And so we cannot lose that part of our origin for our faith. It makes no sense for a Christian to be an anti-Semite. It makes no sense for Christian people to hate the Jews. And yet we've seen that through history, that's been a recurring theme. We have to go all the way back to really the beginning promise that God made to Abraham. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. So why any person or people would curse the Jews makes no sense. There's no logic, no reason in that. Right, yeah. Right, yeah. And it's, you know, it's a difference of philosophy. And unfortunately, there are people whose roots are there who have disconnected. And can we relate to that? I mean, how many of you don't live in your hometown anymore? Right? How many of you would move back? Not me. But, you know, no offense, but... I mean, and that's, but they've gone to the point where they don't like their own country. And I believe, unfortunately, there are people who find some sophistication in that. You know, I'm better than they are. I'm smarter than they are. I'm wiser than they are. They're antiquated ideas. And so it's not exclusive to them, is it? Not exclusive. Yeah. And so, it's gotten worse. And yet, here we are trying to still reconcile the Jewish people or Israel and get along with the people around them. We know how it's going to work out, don't we? Ben alluded to it in his devotion and brotherhood this morning that, well, there's going to be peace. There will be peace for a period of time. By the way, don't get the idea when we talk about peace that it's going to be, you know, rainbows and lollipops, as they say. There's going to be peace among the people, but there's going to be misery among the people. And so while there won't be wars, nation against nation and such as that, it will not be peaceful at all during the tribulation. It will be heartache and misery. It's written to the Jews, the Hebrews, to reconcile this Christian faith, this Jesus, with the old faith, with the Old Testament, to try to get them to take that final step. And maybe that's the reason that the authorship is not embedded. Maybe it was a sense, you know, there was a big controversy, and this has been probably, I say 20, but maybe 30 years ago, I remember a missionary, by the way, a friend of mine, who went out to Colorado and started a mission, started a church. But one of the first things that he did in an effort to avoid some criticism or some prejudice, was he took the word Baptist out of the church name. And he said, well, people out here don't like Baptists. And so they didn't put Baptist. And boy, it caused all kinds of controversy and lost a lot of support over it, because people just didn't like that word Baptist. And by the way, he wasn't the first one to think of it and wasn't the last one to think of it. You see, a lot of these churches out here now, they don't put Baptist in there. By the way, that's okay, because a lot of them aren't Baptist in their theology. But they're not very Baptistic in their operation. But they're community churches. You know, they're not a community. We're a community church or a Christian church. So there's lots of different ways. You know, those are independent churches just like we are. And I'm sure if you ask them, they would say, well, we preach the Bible just like we do. But to avoid offense, and maybe that's the reason that Paul, if he wrote this, and I believe he did, if Paul wrote this book, if he didn't put his name in it because he thought, if I put my name in it, they won't read it. Could be. It's very possible. So Hebrews chapter 1, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. Again, what does a prophet do? A prophet represents God to the people. What does a priest do? Represents the people to God. Okay, so we understand, and I know I say that and bring it out a lot, but it's important for us to understand that concept. Who at in times past unto the spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. So there's that leadership, there's that headship, fathers, there's that history. Verse 2, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. So the Bible tells us that they sent the prophets. Jesus used this as a parable. You'd see the truth in it. That he sent the prophets and they stoned them. And then he said, well, I'll send my Son. They'll listen to him. Surely he has the authority. And so he sent his Son. And what they do to him? They kill him. And so Jesus told that story. But he spoke through his Son. I mean, this was, man, if you, how can you not listen to the Son? This is the heir. This is the one who has the authority. This is the one who has control. Listen to the Son. You say, well, I don't believe what preachers say. Okay, well, here's Jesus. And that's the problem. People think, well, you know, the preacher's just a man. Well, then Jesus showed up preaching the same thing. We wouldn't believe him either, would we? And that's the idea is we choose to follow our own sins and our own wants and our own opinions, our own desires, and it wouldn't matter if Jesus himself was here saying it. When we're set, we've anchored ourselves in an opinion, we're hard-headed and we won't change. What did the rich man say from hell to Father Abraham? Oh, they'll listen if one came back from the grave. Father Abraham said, no, they've got the law and the prophets, Moses and the prophets. And if they don't believe, they won't believe if somebody came back from the grave. And just to prove it, what did he do with Jesus? Brought him back from the grave. So, you know, they still didn't accept it. How can you refute that? How can you deny that Jesus rose from the grave, right? He rose up from the grave, that he remained on the earth preaching and teaching. And people saw him. I mean, lots of people saw him. And there was no doubt he was dead, right? Was he dead when they took him off the cross, or did he just recover in 3 days and wake up? He was dead. They put a spear through his side, and blood and water poured out. I mean, they killed him dead. Wrapped him up and put him in a tomb and left him there 3 days to make sure he was dead. And then on Sunday morning, what did he do? He came out of that grave, right? Probably Saturday night sometime. But he came up out of that grave. Sunday morning they came, the stone was rolled away, and he was gone. They said, where did he go? And he said, I'm going to the Father, I'll be back. He went to the Father, came back, saw the apostles, they knew it. Thomas said, I don't believe it. Right? Because he's a good Baptist, just like us. I don't believe it till I see him. I won't believe it till I see the holes in his hands. And Jesus came and said, Thomas. He said, oh my Lord, my God. Right? So we deny and we live under this doubt? And yet Jesus came back from the grave. And he said they won't believe if even if one came back from the grave. So he proved it. He went down to the center of the earth, to the belly of the earth, spent 3 days and three nights in the belly of the earth, in the heart of the earth, just like Jonah was in the whale, 3 days and three nights. And he came out of that grave and he came back and he preached and people still didn't believe him. They paid the guards at the tomb to lie. Does that make sense to anybody? I mean, wouldn't it have been remarkable if the guard said, look, we woke up and he was gone. They said, well, let's do an investigation and go figure out what's going on. And they found Jesus with the apostles and said, okay, we were wrong. You're right. You're Jesus. You're the Savior. You're God. But that's not what they did. It just shows how hard-headed they knew he was dead and now they know he's alive. And yet they sell the lie. Because they've taken a stand. Guys, please. If you've taken a stand on the wrong side and you realize you're wrong, stop fighting the truth. Stop fighting what's right and accept what's true, what's real. But just dug into our own opinions. He's in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. What does that mean? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. By him were all things made, and without him was not anything made that was made. Right? Y'all read that in the book of John? Let us make man in our image. Who is he talking to? Right? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. So are we Father, Son, and Holy Ghost? Are we a trichotomy or a trinity? Yes, we are. We have a physical, right? A body. That's Jesus. We have a spirit, right? That's the Holy Ghost. And we have a brain that runs that. Well, most of us have a brain that runs all of that, right? And that's the Father. So we have the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. We are a trinity. Why? Because God said, let us make man in our image. Can you separate your spirit from your body? Yes, you can when you die. When you die, your body will go in the grave or in the crematorium, whatever you do with it. And so your body will be here, but your spirit will be gone. There is a separation factor. Will you get your body back? Getting a new model, but yes, the answer is yes, we're getting a new model. Because this is a terrestrial or earthly body, but in heaven, after judgment, we'll receive a celestial body, a heavenly body. And so what happens between the time that I die and the time I get that body? I'm just a spirit in heaven. Just a spirit in heaven. And, you know, that's a concept I don't think we deal with much. But people say, well, you know, I'm going to get to heaven and I'm not going to have a wheelchair or crutches or a breathing machine or whatever it is. You know, we're not going to have any of that. Why? Well, because in heaven, until we get to that point where we get a glorified body, we're not going to even have a body. We're going to have a spirit. That's something to think about, isn't it? You say, how much room is there in heaven? Doesn't matter. Spirits don't take much room. So, Jesus made all the worlds, right? He let us make man our image. Jesus was there. In the beginning, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning, God, the word God there is the word, the term Elohim in the Hebrew, and that heem at the end means we're not talking about one, but we're talking about plural. And the plurality of that word is not three different gods, but it's one God with three identities, three distinctions. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. By the way, do we see the Holy Ghost in Genesis chapter 1? Spirit of God moved upon the face of the deep. Is that in chapter 1? Somewhere in there. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the deep. So we have the Spirit. We have the we, let us. So we have God there in Genesis. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, by whom also he made the worlds. The worlds. Not just one, but many. Are there, you know, it's the complicated questions doesn't make much, doesn't have much value to me. Are there aliens? Are there life, other life forms? Doesn't matter. Don't care. Is it possible? Sure. Why not? Brother Scott, you ever seen any out there? No, not so far. He's got powerful telescopes. If you see them, let us know, okay? So, I mean, we can see these things. So, are there other life forms? Doesn't matter. All I know is that we're here. This is our domain. This is our restriction, right? This is where God put us. The boundaries, that's what I was looking for. This is our boundary. Verse 3, who being the brightness of his glory and the, look at this term, express image of his person. The express image of his person. So we talk about Jesus being the physical manifestation of God. So he's the express image, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins. Does he need baptismal water to purge our sins? Does he need a church to purge our sins? What did it take to purge our sins? The blood of Jesus, the perfect Lamb of God, by himself. Does he need our help? Can we be good enough, do enough good deeds? There's nothing we can do to purge our sins. There's only one thing that'll purge our sins, and that's the perfect sacrifice of Jesus Christ by himself. He sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. So there's the Father, and then there's the Son. Distinct. You see that? Distinct. There's one there, and then there's one to his right. Distinct. For unto which of the angels, verse 5, and so what we see through the rest of this chapter is this glorification of angels. And we've kind of seen some of that in our time. People kind of almost worship angels. But here in the book of Hebrews, he says it straight. He says, to which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And again, I will be unto him a father, and he shall be to me a son. So there's an idea, philosophy, or theology, I guess you could say, this idea that Jesus and Lucifer were equals or are equals. What is Lucifer? Okay, he's the devil. He was an angel, right? He was an angel in heaven with a following. And so when he decided he was going to ascend to God's throne and take over, God threw him out of heaven. But don't get the idea that Jesus and Lucifer are equals. They're not. And maybe that's the whole point of chapter 1 here is, devil is just an angel, right? To which angel did God ever say, this is my son? No. The devil's not God's son. The devil was an angel, a creation of God, but not his son, not a begotten. I'll be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. Okay? Never said that about Lucifer. So that idea of their equality is not true. Lucifer is not equal with Jesus. He's not equal with the Father. He was a servant. He had, of course, a wonderful position and a wonderful existence as long as he was worshiping God. But when he got it in his heart that he could ascend the throne and take over, what do you think would have caused that? Okay, pride, jealousy. What else? Greed, selfishness. So you'd have a hard time proving some of the ideas or philosophy we have about the archangels. But didn't he have servants under him? Right? Angels under him. Those angels are bound in chains of darkness, right? Remember reading about that? So he had those who served him, and maybe that took the next step where it became kind of a worship. By the way, a beautiful angel, right? The angel of light. He was a beautiful angel. And so the ego, that pride, just kept swelling. And then he decided he was going to take over. And that's what cost him everything. But they are not equals. Verse 6, again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, let all the angels of God worship him. Worship Jesus. And the angels, he saith, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire? So what does an angel look like? Right? Could be a spirit. Could also, and we read this later, could be a stranger, right? A person, a man. We see in the Old Testament angels, as the Bible terms them, that just have the appearance of a man. So angels take on different forms according to what God wants them to do. Verse 8, unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. So Jesus is exalted. That's the word, exalted. He's exalted above all others. His position is above all others. But he is in that co-equality, that equality with God, with the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, in equality. Verse 10, and thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. And people have this idea about Jesus, and it's so important for us to go back and remember that we say, well, Jesus took on that form of humanity. The Bible refers to that. But don't forget that humanity took on the form of God. So it wasn't a far stretch for Jesus to become a man. The farthest stretch is for him to leave all of his glory behind in heaven and humble himself to live among us in the suffering and the lack that his family experienced. Right? Was he born into a family with a silver spoon in his mouth? No. In fact, at one point he said, the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. I got no home, no place to call home here. And so he slept in the, mountains and in the woods and different places. He didn't have the glory of home, of heaven. Verse 11, they shall perish, but thou remainest. They shall all wax old as doth a garment. As a vesture shalt thou fold them up, they shall be changed, but thou art the same. Thy years shall not fail. What are we talking about? He laid the foundations of the earth and the heavens. So does the earth change? Do the heavens change? You bet they do. Sure they do. I mean, that's what all the talk's about, right? Global warming, right? Sea level rise. All these things that we talk about. I mean, there are cities that are underwater now, some by man's design, but some by natural consequence. Things have changed over time, over 6,000 years. So in that period of time, things have happened. But what? But Jesus doesn't change. The world changes. What happens when a volcano erupts? Does it change the landscape? Sure it does. Burns stuff up and leaves a paved road behind, basically. Just an incredible force of God. And it says, thou shalt fold them up, they shall be changed. But thou art the same, thy years shall not fail. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand, till I make thine enemies thy footstool? Angels are not equal with the Son. We don't worship angels. And that's a problem. You know, some people do worship angels. In fact, what we call angels today are not even Bible, biblical, heavenly angels. They're just some creation of man, a figurine. that man decided that looked like what they would call an angel, so people worship it. Right? Yeah, when you die, oh, my God, an angel in heaven. No, we don't become angels when we go to heaven. I know every time a bell rings, an angel gets his wings, right? That's just Hollywood. That's not Bible. That's not real. And so, you know, I see people say that, oh, you know, my mama's my angel now, people will say, but I don't argue with them. You know, if your loved ones have died, my loved ones that have died, if they went to heaven, those that believed in Jesus, they are there in a spiritual state. They're absent from the body and present with the Lord. And one day, they will be reunited with their earthly body for the sake of judgment. And after judgment, they'll receive a glorified body that will be a great, never dying, never aging, never sick body. I'm looking forward to that, aren't you? And so that's what we'll have for eternity. We don't become angels. We don't get wings. You know, again, it's just not biblically accurate. But when people think of heaven, what do they think of? They think of angels. In fact, I watched yesterday, I saw Little House on the Prairie, and the little girl was supposedly in heaven. And they didn't have God. They had St. Peter, right? And so he said, well, there was her dog was in heaven, and so she went to go see her dog. And what was the setting? Clouds. You know, so they had fog. And so she was running through the clouds. Look, the clouds are not heaven. That's this heaven, not that heaven. We're talking about the third heaven. We're talking about where God is. So, anyway, a lot of ideas, a lot of things that people say. And let's face it, how often do we talk about this stuff? We don't. So it's no wonder people have the wrong idea about heaven and angels and wings and all that kind of stuff. But when we leave this body, we are spirits. Okay? Verse 14, are they not all ministering spirits? So what is an angel? What does the word mean? Messenger. So that angel is just anyone that God sends to do his work. Now, you talk about the archangels. Again, it gets a little fuzzy on the biblical basis of those things. We could see Gabriel and Michael and Lucifer in the scriptures as three named angels. But we try to stay biblical on all of our teaching. Because there's enough Hollywood and folklore mixed into it. We want to stick to the truth. So we have the three named angels, Michael, Gabriel, and Lucifer. Lucifer was cast out of heaven as lightning, the Bible says. He fell out, came out of heaven like lightning, and cast to the earth. And his angels, which followed him, are reserved in darkness, chains, and bound. So, but they are ministering spirits. So when we think about an angel, we think about a physical form. We think about the ones that walked with Jesus as he went to see Abraham. We think about the different angels went to Sodom and Gomorrah, such as that. Angels, they look like a man. They are in the appearance of a man. And yet Jesus tells us that they're not married or given in marriage. Right? So, anyway, anything else on that topic? That's pretty deep, isn't it? That was too deep? I know. All right, let's take a break.